Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago, so I know a lot more about grief than most of my peers. However, with the crisis of COVID-19 impacting all, many more teenagers are experiencing grief, some over loss of life and others over loss of life as we know it. As teens around the world feel this collective grief, my goal is to provide them with resources to cope and to express themselves. This is Teen Grief Coronavirus. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Kelsey Crow, who is the founder of Help Each Other Out, which makes human connection in times of suffering easier via workshops, interactive games, and talks. She used her experience with grief to write the awesome must-read book that is not only helpful but also funny. There is no good card for this. What to Do and Say When Life is Scary, Awful, and Unfair to the People You Love, co-authored by Emily McDowell. Dr. Crow, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks, Lulu.
My first question for you is, what is grief during coronavirus?
Well, obviously, it's very different for everybody. But let's start sort of at our most basic understanding of grief, which is loss. And when I started my research on this topic and started writing my book, I had it organized by chapter: divorce, breakup, illness, loss, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I realized I keep repeating myself over and over again about what it's like to lose. And recognize that although every experience with grief is unique, there's a lot of underlying commonalities. Mm-hmm. And those commonalities are even apparent in the time of the coronavirus, COVID-19. So, for example, whether you've lost your dad, as you did, Lulu, whether you've lost your prospects of having a baby because you've been diagnosed with infertility, whether you've lost your chance at a graduation, there comes with that a lot of underlying commonalities. And those could be loss of identity, right? Like, does this really matter now that it's petered out? You know, I was expecting to celebrate my graduation. Standards around what's is a graduate are sort of different now. I know we all know that. Is all that I worked for my school production or for my sports, right? And if you were going to play in a big game, like, what does that mean for my sense of identity as an athlete right now? What does that mean for my sense of identity? So what you recognize is that with grief comes a real shakeup in your understanding of what is my identity. I'm no longer an athlete this year. And if you really formed your identity around that, that change in identity is huge. And also very often with grief, you have a change in community. And that is super profound. During the coronavirus, we can't quite gauge who our community is anymore, whether it's our light community that we saw in our home, our classrooms, but maybe didn't hang out with after school, whether it's the community of adults that interacted with us regularly or neighbors that we never even really noticed were in our lives, but now they're gone. It does a big shakeup. And I'm finding, and I imagine you are too, even my good friends, I'm not like checking in with them as much as I used to.
Definitely.
And I'm like, no, I love you, but it's there's a sort of like dampening down, right? It's hard to.
It's very hard.
Yeah. And so our community is really shrinking in so many ways. And at the same time, for those of us who are lucky to be with family and be getting along with them relatively, there is a deepening of those relationships I'm seeing. But so grief has like these secondary losses, they're called, which is loss of identity, loss of community. And then for a lot of people, there's financial loss. So, you know, you could be in a house where one of your parents has lost their job. Mm-hmm. And there's a loss of stability and security. So, and then along with that comes very often a sense of shame. This shouldn't be hitting me so hard. What am I complaining about?
Yeah.
And I think many of us can experience this in waves. You know, you have a good day, a normal day, and then you have a day of utter fatigue and you don't know why. And you don't feel you should be complaining. You know, there are all these stories on the news of people who are actually dying. And so how, and you start comparing your grief to others' grief. So I think there's a lot of similarities. And I think for, especially for young people who are so wise these days, you young people are so much wiser than I was at my time and many around me. There's so much self-awareness and also with that, some self-consciousness about what you're feeling and maybe not feel in judgment about what you're feeling. So I think there's a lot there in grief.
So we talked about how it's difficult to reach out to even some of the people who are the closest to you. Mm-hmm. How do we maintain strong relationships and interact meaningfully with people when we're all disconnected because of coronavirus?
One thing that I do, and it's on my docket to even do it more often, and I don't know if you do this, but I have a regular scheduled call with different people once a week. And if I don't, then I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And we have the call, and I think, oh, I don't feel like doing this because I'm having this general sense of like, what? And I've got no new news. Nothing's happened since the last call.
relatable.
Right? and yeah, it's so good that I keep doing it. So it's one of those things like so many other disciplines. It's like we have to be more disciplined about this. There used to be a lot of serendipity in our relationships. You would just see each other. Something funny would happen. You would just text somebody. And now we have to sort of just show up. And discipline is doing something when you don't feel like doing it. That's when it serves you. And so I think, and yet, you know, it serves you to keep doing it. Uh-huh. So I think that's how we have to be with our relationships, is a little bit more disciplined, knowing that it will serve us to try and make contact with other people. And I think if you're going to do that with a friend, to say, look, I know this sounds really cheesy, I know this is stupid, but I'm feeling like I need this. Could we just talk every Monday at 5, you know, and not break it, even if we feel like breaking it? Because I know you've got nothing else to do.
Yeah. So.
I know. So that kind of thing.
That's very good advice for me because I fall prey to that a lot. Okay, for my next question, I want to ask you about how, even though it seems like we have all this time, it does feel like you can't really balance your homework, your social needs, your personal time, your family time. And I know that the right mix is different for everybody, but do you have advice about making sure you give all the people and parts of your life enough attention?
Yeah, I mean, that's a struggle. And I have found that I start prioritizing what makes me feel good, okay, which is a dose of going into my garden. So just getting some sun and seeing flowers and bees. And I did not go out there every hour and a half before this was upon us. And now I find that I do. And I spend about 10 minutes there. So that for me is about self-care, because that's what makes me feel good. Somebody is really into exercising, giving yourself permission to maybe do that a little bit more in the day, you know, just do some extra planks at noon or whatever it is. Or rewarding yourself, I don't know, with some snacks, even though you know you're going to be, you know, the Corona 10 pounds that you're going to gain or whatever, and just know that's just that, you know.
Your reward for getting through it.
Yeah, you know, I think that we have to build in these little rewards for, and I think that, in fact, I will have learned to do that even beyond Corona, personally.
Definitely. I think we're all learning a little bit how to treat ourselves when there's not a lot of distraction.
Yeah, I mean, what for you when you say, like busyness with work and personal needs and other needs?
I guess what happens to me is I have all my virtual classes and homework assignments, and then I feel tired and I don't really want to socialize. And then I have dinner with my family and I've felt like I've socialized when I really haven't. So, and then I miss my friends. So it's just, it can be hard.
There's a, you know what too? I think just being like, you know, because even what you're describing is a lot, and wanting to just shut down and be like, I'm just going to do Instagram or WhatsApp and do this mindless stuff for 20 minutes or whatever. And that is what I'm going to do. You know, my daughter, she clearly is needing to shut down a lot. And at first I was like, come on, join us. But she spends a lot of time on the screen and interacting this way. It's just tiring. So I think give yourself permission for that. I think, like, say it's your family. If you have somebody who's like, come on, let's talk. Just tell her, I love you, Mom. And all of this Zoom is making me so tired. And once this is over, I swear I'm going to just be back to normal. But don't worry about me. This is me taking care of myself. And I think she'll be happy to hear that.
Okay. Thank you. So my next question is about a little less grief and a little bit more worry about what's
the uncertainty
with sports, with the college, with anything. So
how
do you comfort your friends, your family, even yourself when literally nobody knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I definitely am paying less attention to the news. I just do a 1-day check-in, and I'm more sympathetic for myself that I'm still confused. You know, like there's just no clear arrow that's pointing in one direction. Everything is so inconsistent, whether you're talking at the state level, the national level, it's extremely confusing. So recognizing as you are that we are in a state of uncertainty. Okay. And if the only blessing from that is that, in fact, we are always living in a state of uncertainty, and now it's just out in the open. I think fully, you know, there's when we name the feelings that we're having, our reactionary part of the brain that's responsible for all of the hard, intense feelings starts getting some neurotransmitters from the more rational side of our brain. And it's almost like a dopamine injection, and it calms us down. So I think by just naming, this is uncertain times, I don't know what's happening, and it's making me afraid, or it's making me anxious. Just by naming it, it starts to quell it down a little bit. So that in itself is super important. And I would say then, if you can, channel that into a request from your sports coach, from your teacher, to say, can you tell us something to give us comfort now? Can you give us some kind of message? It doesn't have to be an answer, just something to reach out to us. I think it's perfectly normal to want that connection, even if they can't offer certainty.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So if you had any final important things you would like to say to my listeners, teenagers feeling the results of coronavirus, what would you say?
I'd say you're not alone. There are people all over the world who are experiencing a state of uncertainty, disappointment, fear, not only about what's going on now, but about reentry.
Yeah.
Will I feel equipped to socialize again?
That is definitely a worry of mine.
Will I be able to sit in a classroom and focus? will I feel like interacting with people? That these questions about what's happening now and what's going to happen with reentry is on everyone's mind, and that it's tiring, and that it's normal. That's what I would say. And if anything, that's your connection to other people.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Dr. Crow, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief Coronavirus.